And now, the life of Mary Southern. Ever since the death of her husband, Max Sanders, Mary has found comfort in her conviction that Max is still with her. And for 2 weeks, while her friends and Sanders have searched anxiously for her, Mary has been living in the city of Craig's Falls, where she believes Max wants her to live and build a new life. Yesterday, Dr. John Benson, who has always loved Mary, reached Craig's Falls in response to the phone message of Father Brady and David, the young man who has befriended Mary. Benson was overjoyed to find Mary, but stunned by her hysterical refusal to return to Sanders. Mary grew calm only after David had taken her back with him to the boarding house. And John Benson, resentful of David's influence over her, admitted to Father Brady that he had no means of compelling her to return home, but declared that he would not go back without her. Now it is the next morning. John Benson has spent the night in Craig's Falls, hoping to persuade Mary to return to Sanders. We find Mary alone in the sitting room of the boarding house, waiting nervously for John.
Mary, darling, don't be afraid.
Oh, Max, my dear, I've been longing to hear your voice. I think I dreamed of you last night, and I felt you were very close to me ever since I woke up this morning.
I am close to you, Mary. Don't lose courage, darling. You're on the red road now. Soon you'll see the way clearly before you.
I feel calm and happy today, next year. It's wonderful knowing you're still with me, giving me courage to talk to John. He's been such a good friend. But he doesn't understand.
Good morning, Mary.
Oh, good morning, John. I've been waiting for you, but I didn't hear the doorbell.
Daydreaming?
No.
Mrs. McPherson told me I'd find you in here. How are you today?
I feel particularly well today, John.
I'm glad to hear that. You do look rested. If you had a good night's sleep.
I slept very well. How about you? The Craig's Falls Hotel comfortable?
I was too tired to know. I could have stuck on a park bench or on a concrete floor last night. It's been such a relief finding you at last.
John, one day I hope I can repay you for all the trouble and worry I've caused you.
I feel repaid this morning, Mary. Seeing you looking so refreshed and beautiful. Mary, I phoned Daddy Stratford last night to tell him I found you. And he let out a war whoop that must have been heard all over Sanders.
Is he feeling better, John? You know, you told me yesterday you'd been sick and
dead. Yes, he's much better.
Oh, good.
He'll be able to go out of the house in a few days. But I haven't told you the real news yet.
The real news?
Yes, I meant to wait till you got back to Sanders, but Daddy Stratford thought I should tell you now.
Is it good news, John?
Of course, the very best.
Well, tell me.
Phyllis is walking a few steps every day. And before long, I think she'll be out of that wheelchair for good.
Oh, that is good news. I'm so glad. But I'm not really surprised, you know.
I know. You always were optimistic about Phyllis. You always had faith that she'd recover.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I'm willing to admit that faith must have played a large part in her cure.
But don't you remember, John, that Max told Phyllis she'd get well? He promised that Phyllis and Danny'd have a long, happy life together.
Yes, I remember, Mary. Max was right, I'm glad to say.
Max is always right.
And Mary, Danny has a surprise for you, too. He's taught his dog Dingbat an amazing new trick. He says it's a greater miracle than Phyllis is walking. Can't wait till you see it.
Oh, Daddy, Phyllis, and Danny. Such dear friends. They could only understand.
Mary, as your physician, I object to your staying indoors on this beautiful day.
It is beautiful, isn't it? David's promised to take me for a long walk in the snow. He went out early, but I'm expecting him very soon.
I meant that it's a beautiful day for our drive back to Sanders. I suggest that we start now.
But, John, I thought you understood. I'm not going back to Sanders.
I know you said that yesterday, but surely you weren't serious.
I tried to tell you as clearly as I could that I'm not going back to Sanders. I'm staying here.
You don't really mean that you want to stay here indefinitely. I thought you meant a day or so longer to say goodbye to Father Brady and David.
I intend to stay here indefinitely, John. I'm sorry to disappoint you, and I don't mean to be rude or ungrateful for all you and Daddy've done. But I can't go back to Sanders.
But why not, Mary? What possible reason could there be for your staying here alone in this boarding house, in a strange city without friends?
Max told me to come here, and I'm not alone. Max is still with me.
But, Mary, it's out of the question. What will you do? What possible future can you have here?
I'm not quite sure yet, John. But Max will tell me. It's getting clearer and clearer every day. I know there was a reason for my meeting David. You know, John, I've known him somewhere before, and he's known me. He isn't a stranger.
But this is ridiculous.
Mary, are you in the city?
Oh, there he is now. Yes, David, come in.
Oh, are you ready for that walk? Oh, excuse me, I didn't know Dr. Benson was here.
That's all right. Good morning.
Good morning. We can postpone our walk until later, Mary.
Oh, no, David, I've been waiting for you. I told John I was planning to take a walk with you. I'll just run upstairs and get my coat and hat. Oh, perhaps John would like to come with us.
No, thanks. I have some phone calls to make, and I may have to drive back to the clinic if Dr. Cartwright needs me.
Well, be ready in a few minutes, David.
All right.
Mr. Drake, I want to talk to you before Mary comes back.
Yes, Dr. Benson?
It's about Mary. I think both you and Father Brady have guessed that she's not fully recovered from the shock of her husband's death.
Yes.
For that reason, she's still in a highly emotional state, and it's impossible to reason with her.
You mean impossible to persuade her to go back to Sanders with you?
To persuade her to go back to her home and her friends.
Why are you telling me this, Dr. Benson?
Because, for one thing, you seem to have an extraordinary influence over her.
You say that as if you think it's a harmful influence.
Not at all. On the contrary, I am bound to admit it appears to be a beneficial influence. You have a soothing, quieting effect on her. I don't know why or how it happened.
I think you're exaggerating the whole thing.
No, I don't think so. I have known Mary for a good many years. And in that time, there's been only one man who's had a similar influence over her. That was her husband, Max Sanders.
I'd still like to ask why you're telling me all this, Dr. Benson.
I'm coming to that. I want you to know something of Mary's background first.
I see.
You understand, don't you, that the reason she's so reluctant to go back to Sanders is because she hasn't reacted normally to her husband's death. Her nature's very intense. It's only natural that it would take her longer than it takes most women to recover from the death of the man she loved.
I understood all that about Mary almost from the first moment I spoke to her.
Then you understand, too, that the reason she won't go back to Sanders is because, subconsciously, she doesn't want to see anyone who is closely associated with her husband. And at present, everyone at Sanders is identified with Max's death. Even her children.
Her children? Oh, yes. Yes, I remember the newspaper story said that she was the mother of two children.
We've been taking care of them at the clinic ever since Max died. But don't you see, the very fact that Mary has not been anxious to see them means that she's not in a normal condition emotionally. For normally, she's devoted to them. Mary's not the sort of woman who would neglect her children.
Dr. Benson, I wish you'd come to the point to speak frankly. Are you telling me all this because you think I've tried to keep Mary here in Craig's Falls? If you think that, you're wrong.
No, I don't think that at all. And I'm more grateful to you than I can ever tell you for having taken good care of Mary.
I don't want gratitude for having made a new friend. But I do consider Mary a friend, even though I've known her such a short while.
And it's evident that Mary values your friendship highly. So highly that, quite frankly, I'm appealing to you for help.
For help?
Yes. Mary won't listen to me. But I'm quite sure if you urged her to go back to Sanders, she would go.
You want me to ask Mary to leave Craig's Falls and go back with you?
Yes. Please believe me. I'm asking it for Mary's sake. Although I'll be honest and admit I'll be happier when she's back there.
I wonder if you realize that you're asking a great deal.
You're fond of Mary, aren't you?
I just told you that I consider her a real friend. And to be as frank as you've been, I don't want her to go away. She says she's happier here, and I believe her.
But surely, you see why she thinks she's happy here. It's because she was happy with Max and Sanders, and after his death, everything and everyone there reminded her of Max. Now, if she'll only go back, she'll find that everything will be different. Time works miracles. The only remedy for the hurt Mary suffered.
You really believe that Mary will be happier in Sanders?
I believe it's absolutely necessary for Mary's future happiness that she return home as soon as possible.
I'm ready, David. Ready for that long walk.
Yes, I'm coming, Mary.
Will you do it, David? Will you talk to her now and try to persuade her to go back with me today?
Well, I don't want to. But after all, you've known her much longer than I have. You're a doctor. Perhaps you know best. Yes. Yes, I'll talk to her now, and I'll try to persuade her to go back to Sanders.
So David promises to try to persuade Mary to leave him and return to Sanford's. Has he begun to suspect John Benson's personal interest in Mary? Is this why he was so reluctant to respond to John's appeal for help?